And that is coming back to churches like yours that have invested in World Harvest Baptist Missions. Because what I wanted to do when we started this in World Harvest Baptist Missions, and my goal was, I wanted to be able to go to a church like this one and tell a pastor like this one that I believe that this will be the best investment your church can make for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, and the best investment to change God's kingdom in eternity. And so that's what we've striven to do. And it's an exciting place. This is year two of doing it full time. We just got back from our fourth trip over there in South Asia. That's the 1040 window. And we are, not only are we doing evangelism, but we're doing church planting, of course, because we want to have the opportunity to disciple those people that have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. So we had added two more new churches this year. So thus far, we've started 25 churches. And we've been in 41 villages in the Chin State. Now, I know that doesn't mean anything to you, but to put that in perspective, we're talking about a closed country. And last year, I was the only human being on the planet that was given a visa for the Chin State of Myanmar. Isn't that unbelievable? And we were in 41 villages thus far. In 40 of those villages, I was the first white man to ever step in that village. First white man they'd ever seen. And God has tremendously blessed, and we've seen thousands upon thousands of people trust the Lord Jesus as Savior. We have distributed thousands upon thousands, literally, of Bibles in their language and their heart language. We have now have a prison ministry over there. In a closed country, we got invited to go in. We had a young man in one of our Harvest Crusade camps in the Laitui village. And we went in there, and this young man had gotten saved. Well, come to find out, somebody connected to him was a man that was in charge of the penal system in the entire country of Myanmar. And this young man had gotten saved and evidently had some trouble with alcohol and things of this nature. And he came to us, and this man reached out to World Harvest Baptist Missions and asked me if we would consider coming to the penitentiaries in Myanmar and preaching the gospel. Isn't that unbelievable? And so this year we have a slate of four harvest camps in penitentiaries. We've already done one, and 120 men trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Just a remarkable opportunities that have taken place. We now have a Bible college, World Harvest Baptist Missions Bible College in Calais, and we will start our first series of classes this fall. We got six young preacher boys. We've got 19 staff pastors. I was telling, this is probably one of my most exciting things that we got going on besides the harvest camps. We have 19 World Harvest Baptist Mission staff pastors that we bought them a $600 Kimbo scooter and an iPad with a camera on it. And we send 19 preachers out 24/7, 365, doing nothing but evangelism. Amen. And I want you to pay close attention in the video. A lot of people are asking me, well, how many has been saved? Well, I'm just going to show you. I'd rather you see for yourself. If you want to count them, you can. We've distributed 13,500 Burmese Bibles to 13,500 Burmese converts. And you're going to see in this video the group pictures of everybody wearing the same T-shirt, which is our World Harvest Baptist Mission T-shirts. And what we do, for your benefit, everyone that calls upon the Lord Jesus to save them, we give them a T-shirt and we take a group picture so that you can know what took place there. But this is what you invested in. And you'll see the 25 churches. You'll see the 41 villages. You'll see the ministries and the prisons over there. We hope to start this Bible college, the classes this fall. We're raising money right now to buy property over there. We found property. We need four lots that are $9,000 a piece. We're going to build the Bible college and Temple Baptist Church building. And the pastor of Temple Baptist Church, one of our staff members, is going to be the president of the school. He's qualified to do that. It'll be a satellite school from Arlington Baptist College. And so it will be connected to us in that way as well. And we're going to be able to train our own preacher boys, teach them how to do harvest crusades, and then be able to send them out to the villages. And it's so far, it's worked out tremendously, because what happens is, we go to these villages, we have a harvest crusade, we see a multitude of people saved, and then we go back and organize a church out of those converts. Because the first thing that they want to do, preacher, is they want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Well, I believe that the Bible teaches if you're going to baptize somebody, you're going to baptize them into the local church. And that the local church, it was given authority to baptize. And so we have to say, well, if we want to baptize you, we're going to have to organize a church. And then if you want me to baptize you, your church that we organize is going to have to give me authority to baptize. Otherwise, I cannot do that. And so that gives us the opportunity then to step in, because we've translated articles of faith and constitution and bylaws. So we get down there, gives us a week to sit down and teach that church what we believe, why we believe it, who we are, even though they don't have a Bible. And so we're working to get them Bibles in some of the languages. You're going to notice about four new people groups we're dealing with. Two in particular in this video is the Mindat. Those are the ladies' faces are tattooed blue, because they believe that if they made their girls ugly, the demons would leave them alone. They're Amethysts, which means they are the worshipers of the demons of their ancestors. And they reached out to some of our staff guys about coming and bringing the Lord Jesus to their village. And so we were able, World Harvest Baptist Mission, made contact with the Mindat people of the southern Chin State for the first time ever that they've ever had contact made. And we just praise the Lord for it. Next year we have a full slate of in Mindat villages. They're still involved in practicing headhunting. They still cut your head off. And we had one harvest crusade in one of the villages, and the village was converted. The village has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And as a gift, preacher, they presented me the last knife that they used to actually cut someone's head off. It's in my living room at home. And they wanted people to know we will not need that anymore, because we serve Jesus Christ, and we don't have the need of fearing the demons of people's ancestors. And so you pray about for those Mindat people as well as the Cambalat. The Cambalat women, their tattoos are curlicues across their face. And they too are in the same spiritual darkness. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you got people out in the middle of the jungle that chop people's head off, or whether you got people sitting on a bar stool down here at the bar. If they don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, they're in the same boat. And it's good to know that we can partner together. And while we're doing what we can do in South Asia, that churches like yours is out here trying to win people to Jesus Christ right here in Slayton, America. Amen? And so you look at those things. This is the investment you made. If you think I'm up here bragging, please don't think that. Please. I'm up here showing you what your investment's done. You want to know how many people got saved? You look at all the group shots of the people that have those t-shirts on. That's how many people got saved. You'll see the churches, and it happened because your preacher had a vision to be involved in this ministry, and you followed that, and you allowed me the opportunity to go, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And if you'll allow me, I'll keep going. This year we got three trips planned, and so we're excited about that. So I'll show the video, and then maybe you have some questions afterwards. So go ahead. Ministry continues to grow, and we keep getting new and new opportunities coming in. And one of the big questions that a lot of people ask because of the expanse of the ministry is, how is it a closed country and you have churches there in the wide open? Everybody wants to know that. It is a closed country. The penalty for converting from Buddhism to Christianity is death. And if they come in there and see that church, they'll burn it down. But the people don't care. And last year, some 190,000 Christians were killed in the country of Myanmar alone. And one of the things that you just got to understand about that culture is when they trust the Lord Jesus as Savior, they're willing to follow Him in death. Amen. And if they see the churches, they burn them down. If they find a cross, they take it down and they burn them as well. And it is a volatile, volatile place. But when you go in there and the entire village comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the first thing they want to do, Brother Davis, is they want a church. And a lot of those buildings that are there are buildings that they use to store rice. And we'll go in there and ask them if they're, instead of storing rice, you saw some of the pictures, there was piles of rice sacks in the back. That's what they use those buildings for, and we're just turning them into churches. And so that's why a lot of those existing buildings are there. Some of the other ones, they want to build a building, and they build a building. And if the government goes up there, the Chin State is only accessible in February, March, and April because of the monsoon season. It's the only time to get up there. It's the only time to get out of there. Other than that, in those times, people are going around trying to get everything that they need. And then when the rain starts, the monsoon season comes, you cannot get up in there. And neither can the military. And so, unless by helicopter, and they just don't do it. But you're here seeing on the news all the Christians being killed in Myanmar. It's in the Sabwa village where we had our harvest camp this year. Every single night during the services, we could hear automatic machine gun fire in the background and the occasional explosion. And because it's a volatile place, but that's the exact time when you want to be there with the gospel. Because that's when the gospel thrives, is when it's being persecuted. And you look at the book of Acts and you find that out. And so it's an exciting time to be there. And as long as the Lord will allow us, by the door being open, we will continue to go. Like I said, this year we plan on going over three times. One of our trips will be to get the Bible college started, get the properties bought, and get the buildings built. And the other great need that we have is, one of the things the Buddhists have started doing is going up into the Chin State, sending Buddhist monks into the Chin State and opening up children's home, orphanages, and telling the Zomi people, if you send your people here, we will feed them for nothing. Well, those people, that country is 100% unemployed. They get up in the morning looking for what they're going to eat, and that's what they're going to eat. And so to find somebody to say, hey, we'll feed your kids for you, well, they'll send them. And then the Buddhist monks are wanting to indoctrinate them. And so what we have felt led to do is, the Buddhist monks have opened a children's home in Tetum, and we're going to open one this year in Tetum. We're going to try to open one also this year in Calais. And so you pray for the Lord to meet those needs as well. You know, and I know it sounds like a lot, and it sounds expensive, but let me put it in perspective. I can send a preacher boy to Bible college for an entire year, preacher, for a $100 bill. An entire year. I can feed a kid in a children's home for $30 for an entire year. So and for us to go out and have the ability to do what we're doing, and the reason why we can do so much and seemingly be so spread out is we've got the staff to do it. We've got three full-time evangelism teams that are going out every single day, all day long, rain or shine, winning people to Jesus Christ. We have pastors, staff pastors. When we start churches, we leave them behind at that church to pastor that church and to disciple them. We're the only ones that has any literature in the Zocum language. We are the only ones that have any literature in the Kuki language, in the Falam, Hakka, as well as Mendat language. And so we have an opportunity. They haven't had a written language very long, less than 50 years. And so having some kind of literature for them, and by the way, that's the big no-no, is the distribution of literature over there. And we really pushed the envelope this year with the amount of Bibles. We distributed 26,000 Bibles. We smuggled those Bibles in from China. As you know, China's a closed country. You know who prints our Bibles? A print shop in China, because they just want the work. And so they print our Bibles, we ship the Bibles to India, and then we smuggle them from India, a border town of India, into the country of Myanmar. We now have 15,000 Zocum Standard Version New Testaments in Tetum right now, in storage, hid, and this year we'll be distributing those. So the Lord's blessed. And those, by the way, I get a Bible for $1. $1. And so we praise the Lord for that. We build a church building. A church building the size of this one, I can build over there for $10,000. It'll have a dirt floor, but that's all they have in anywhere they are. And it'll be four walls and roof, and that's it. The big expense is the land. And so we're going to go in there. We're going to build the Bible college. We're going to build a children's home on the same piece of property. Brother Kim, our evangelism director of the Zomi, is going to take care of the Calais children's home. And Brother KG, our pastor that pastors the church in Tedham, is going to run the children's homes in Tedham. But as long as the Buddhists go in there, we're going to do everything we can to combat them by giving those people the truth. Because I believe that the Buddhists are lying to people. I believe they're telling them what's not true. And I believe they're going to be responsible for people going straight to hell. And I think that we have an obligation to tell them the truth, that Jesus Christ has set them free and he can give them a future. And that future is eternity in his presence. So that's where we're at. And thank you again for allowing us to do that, because without your support, we can't do it. And your preacher has invested heavily in what we're trying to do. And preacher, I appreciate that. And I want you to know that I hope that you can see by this video that it was a wise investment. Does anybody got any questions? From people group to people group. The Chin state and the people of the Chin state are called Chin people. You have Zomi Chin, Zo Chin, Karan Chin, Hakka Chin, Falam Chin, Cho Chin, Chow, Daya, Mendat, Kambalat. There's dozens of them. And some of the languages are similar. But now, one thing that is a constant over there is just about everybody speaks Burmese. And so if we don't have a Bible, for example, we don't have a Bible in Cho, and that first prison camp was in a Cho prison, and those people spoke Cho. And by the way, most of my staff guys speak at least seven languages, and they all speak Burmese. And so if we can't get a Bible in their heart language, which is very important, by the way, we give them a Burmese Bible, and they can all read Burmese. And so, and we have a complete Genesis to Revelation Burmese Bible, the Judson Bible. That's a very competent translation. Right now, I have 11 Zomis that live with us in Alabama on my property. We have another house, and we have our home office set up there. And I have two full-time translators, Brother Peel, my translator that goes with me during the harvest season, and then his father, Brother Singh. Both of them translate every single day, all day long. And we are 95% done right now with a Baptist American hymnal. And it'll be the first hymnal with score, Brother David. And so we are excited about that. We got a little bit of proofing to done of that. And then we're halfway done with a children's Bible that has pictures. And we think that's going to be big because education over there is non-existent, really. And so the only escape they have is to educate. But they go, young ladies will go to school till second grade. Sometimes the boys go to school till seventh grade. Many of the people are illiterate, but so we're thinking a children's Bible is going to help us out quite a bit. And another thing I want to say is, I know you saw the groups of people that had trusted the Lord as Savior, and I want you to know that every single person that accepted Jesus Christ as Savior was dealt with one-on-one by staff. When we have a harvest camp, all the staff meets us. So we have all 27 staff guys present when we do a harvest crusade. So that when I preach and I'm presenting the gospel, and everybody asks, well, you know, when you go to a place that's never seen a white man, that's never heard the name of Jesus, what do you say? That's one of the great things, Brother Duane, about what we do. You see, the Word of God validates itself. If you will declare the Lord Jesus Christ, well, it's exactly what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners.
That's why he came. And when you stand and declare that, and Paul said, by the way, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And if he'll save me, he'll save anybody. And when you share that with people that's never heard, they respond. And say, when they come forward, unlike here, we would deal with them at the altar, preacher. But when they respond there, we simply take their name, and we have their name, and they're going to be there for the week for our camp. And then immediately after the service, we begin. And the Tungzong village, we had over 2,800 people respond to an invitation to be saved. And so it took 11 days, one-on-one. You saw the guys sitting with a grease board. They sit down one-on-one. We start from the Garden of Eden. We go all the way to Rapture of Believers, explaining to them about salvation, about creation and God, and how God became flesh and dwelt. And they understand. They start seeing it and getting put together. And that's when we deal with them about receiving Jesus Christ their Savior. So we know that they understand what they're doing. And so I want to make that clear. We don't, all that big group of people, we don't have them come up here and say, hey, okay, ask Jesus in your heart, you're saved. I don't believe that's the way you're saved. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And until you expose a lost person to the living Word of God, I don't believe they can be saved. And so we sit down with them in that way, and we deal with them in that way, one-on-one. Then we leave a staff pastor behind at that village to begin the process of discipleship. And so that's, and we're seeing a lot of young men surrendering to preach, and that's one of the reasons why we thought it's time to get a Bible school going. I've got qualified men to teach it, and we'll get those young. What we'll do is train those young preachers for 2 years. We'll get them a scooter and an iPad, and send them to their home village and set up, and we'll go do a harvest camp at that home village, and then we'll organize a local New Testament, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, sin-trashing, Satan-bashing King James Baptist Church, because that's what I am, and I'm not ashamed of that. And so that's what we're trying to do, and God is blessing tremendously. And so I really appreciate your investment in what we're doing, and we're going to keep doing it until the Lord comes. By the way, there's 268 Zomi villages, and we've done 41 of them, and I've asked the Lord to let me live long enough to finish it. And I'm 58, so I'm pushing the envelope, but especially for going over there. So you pray for us, and again, as long as you will, I promise you, every single penny you send World Harvest Baptist Mission goes to the field, and it goes for one reason only, and that's to win somebody from hell to heaven and establish a local New Testament church. And that's our purpose for existing, and to assist you in what God called you to do, which is to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You need me to do that, and I need you to pull it off. So, preacher, thank you, and I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. I tell you what, let's have an invitation here for a few moments. Maybe you're here tonight. You just want to take time to pray for Jay. In fact, I encourage that at each and every one of us to either come to the altar or right where you are and pray for the ministry that Jay's involved with. Pray for energy because he has got to be spread pretty thin to be taking care of so many of these different things. And then maybe God's spoken to your heart. Maybe God's tendered you about doing more for missions, getting involved with missions, maybe be a missionary. Whatever God has spoken to your heart. Let's ask you to stand, and we'll take a few moments, and or as long as we need to. And if you want to come and respond to this altar, you come.
Whatever it takes.